Hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, to God who is, who was, and who is to come.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they all saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to carry out everything I have commanded you, knowing that I am always with you until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We saw earlier in this visit to the catacombs that statue of Saint Cecilia in the very posture she was discovered to be in 500 years ago, 1200 years after she had died. That by no real coincidence is a total expression of her faith as she was suffering in agony with those wounds to her carotid artery in which she was bleeding to death slowly. She was professing in body language what we celebrate today. You saw it in her fingers, 3 in 1, to celebrate God who is one in 3 persons. Her whole life developed out of faith in God Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And today we literally follow in her footsteps, but we ask for the grace to make that pilgrimage not just with our feet, but interiorly. The Catechism of the Catholic Church describes that the mystery of the Blessed Trinity is the central mystery of Christian faith and Christian life. Now, I don't think I have to explain that it is the central mystery of the Christian faith. We do believe in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is, the Catechism describes, the top of the hierarchy of truths that we believe. But what's important for us to grasp is that the mystery of the Trinity is the central mystery of Christian life. For us to live our faith as Christians, we must live it in a Trinitarian way. What does that mean? Means that our entire life is supposed to be in relation to God, 1 and 3. Cardinal Ratzinger, in an essay back in the 1980s, eventually published in the book, translated into English, is Feast of Faith, described how Christians pray. He said the very possibility of prayer, for example, comes from who God is, that God is an eternal trialogue. 3 persons in conversation, not verbally, but existentially. And that unified conversation is who God is. Because God is a word, God is a logos. God is this conversation. When God took on our humanity, he brought us into that conversation. That's what happened at the incarnation. The Holy Spirit's whole role is to incorporate us into Christ's body so that even though Jesus has brought the human race into that conversation with his incarnation, it's the Holy Spirit that helps us through our baptism, through the sacraments, through our Christian life, to enter into that communion of God. And the way that that happens is in the church. He described in 2 pages the deepest mystery of our Christian life, which is this capacity that God wants to be in communion in conversation with us. Prayer is ultimately not an exchange of words. It's not an exchange of thoughts. It's an exchange of persons, which God comes to abide in us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's what we celebrate with the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity. And we seek to remain, abide, live in God. This central mystery of the Christian life, we can look at liturgically. We begin this Mass, how? Literally entering into the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To use that word name signifies person, in this case person. We enter into the oneness of God, and like the triune oneness of God, when we make the sign of the cross, we finish the Mass with a Trinitarian blessing, and in between, it's redolent with the Blessed Trinity. The greeting today, which we take from St. Paul, may the love of God the Father, when you're actually preaching it for real, you stumble a little bit. But may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Love, grace, and communion. That we have that great love of the Father enfleshed in His Son. We have the grace of Jesus. Grace isn't a thing. Grace is our communion with God as creatures. And then the communion, the koinonia of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit seeks to make us one in communion with God and in communion with each other. That's what we pray exists among us as we begin the Mass. The whole Eucharistic prayer is made by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus to God the Father. The entire liturgy of the Mass, which is supposed to overflow into our life, is Trinitarian. The beginning of our Christian life, we put into practice the words of the Gospel today when Jesus sent us out to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We were baptized in the three persons in one God at the beginning of our life. At the end of our life, a priest will come to our bedside. And as we're preparing to die, he will say, "Go forth, Christian soul, to the Father who created you, to the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who died for you, to the Holy Spirit who sanctifies you. Go forth, Christian soul." And our entire life between those two poles is likewise Trinitarian. It's in the name of the Blessed Trinity that our sins are forgiven. As I said in the formula of absolution at the beginning of Mass, all three persons are implicated in the sacrament of confirmation. We'll talk a little bit later about how all three persons are involved in the Mass. It's in the image of the love that exists in the Trinity that man and woman are made one, and from their communion is supposed to flow love. They're capable of literally making love, a third person, just as the love of the Father and the Son, according to the theology of St. Augustine, could spirate a third person, could generate a third person, the Blessed Trinity. Likewise, in the name of the Trinity, priests are ordained to be icons of God the Father, to act in the person of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Ultimately, our whole sacramental life in which God comes to encounter us, He comes to encounter us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But mainly, when we look at our Christian life, how do we live this mystery? St. John very succinctly in his first letter described it for us. He said, God is love. He's charity. He's total self-giving. And for us to live the Christian life in the image and likeness of God, it calls, it summons us to this same type of self-giving. Sometimes people will say it's self-sacrifice, but when we think about sacrifice, we only think about the pain sometimes. Self-giving is far more free, far more coming from our heart. And that's the way we most give glory to the Lord. Jesus would say during the Sermon on the Mount, when he said, "You are the light of the world," he said, "So let your light shine among others, so that seeing your deeds, deeds of love, deeds of real charity, they might praise your Father in heaven." give glory to the Father in heaven. It's that charity of the Trinity abiding in us and flowing through us that people are able to see a little bit of the glimpse of God. During that first Mass, Jesus prayed for something really quite powerful. He knew through all the prophets exactly what he would suffer. But instead of praying for the strength to be able to bear that pain, he was praying for us. He turned to the Father, as we see in John 17, and prayed that we would be one. Just as the Father is in He and He in the Father, so may we be completely one, that two things would occur. The whole world might know that You sent Me, so evangelization happens by the communion that we have with each other, and that they might know that You love them just like You love Me. We've got a crisis that so many people coming from broken homes, etc., even some intact homes, just don't realize how loved they are by God. And if people were to really grasp that, we wouldn't have a faith crisis. But a lot of the times that's not what they see, because we have so many people living by duty, which is a devil, and not by love. And just raw duty in an age of irresponsibility isn't going to convert anybody. But if people are able to experience the incredible love that God has, it converts people. That's what we saw in the early church. The evangelization of the Roman Empire happened because of two things. First, it happened because of the witness of the martyrs, that they were willing joyfully to give their lives for the one who had previously given his life to save theirs. And these were sane people without death wishes. But they had that type of faith that they